Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of 1 Peter, so you go all the way to the end of Revelation, work your way back a few books. After you get past 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you'll come to 1 Peter, and Hebrews is right before 1 Peter. We're going to read chapters 1 through 3, take some devotional pauses, think through some application at the end, and then close in prayer, and I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of 1 Peter. Lord, help me to learn about you and my relationship with you through this reading today, and may it please you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace be to the God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So he begins by talking to them about the salvation that has come to them, that lasts a lot longer than the persecution they're going through and the suffering they're going through, and that they can rejoice, and that God has used all the former prophets and the apostles, and the Holy Spirit has brought it to fruition in their lives. And the angels don't even get to fully understand the salvation process. Therefore, because of salvation, verse 13, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person, works impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, you were redeemed with the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So because of the salvation you have, you are to live a set apart, holy life, because of what Christ has done for you. And you do it according to the word of God. Chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So far in chapter 2, he's talking to them about being holy. They are to get rid of all these sins that are listed there in the beginning of chapter 2. They are to get into the Word of God, and they are to realize that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church and of their faith, and that they are now priests. They are a part of a new group, the church, that God has called by his mercy. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's the end of chapter 2. He finishes with several verses about how to honor God in whatever life situation they were in, and to realize that as believers in whatever situation they're in, they will be falsely accused. But instead of fighting it, they were to live justly, as God will bring it all out in the end. And they were to be like Christ, who suffered and did not retaliate, did not get revenge. We are to walk in his steps and commit our lives to Christ. Chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Okay, so again, to a tough thing sometimes in these days in our culture to talk about women submitting to their husbands. But just as the passages where husbands are to love their wives more than themselves, God lays out how to honor God and one another in our relationships. And that sometimes if you have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife, the way that you treat them, the way that you live for Christ, can be a testimony and help them come to know the truth. Verse 8, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. That last section is a difficult section. Encourage you to read through it and to commit to further study. And I'm happy to certainly help you work through that if you have interest in it. But here near the end, he's really talking about those who were being persecuted and going through very difficult times because of their faith. They were to live faithfully before God. God sees what's going on. He will make things right in his own time. And it all still comes back to the gospel. That's what he ends with, the gospel. Jesus Christ dying for our sins and rising again. And no matter what's going on in our world or lives, if you keep coming back to the gospel, you will be able to live a life that honors God. That's the end of chapter 3 and the end of our reading for today. So what sticks out to you? My favorite verse is in this section, so certainly that captures my attention. 1 Peter 2:21. To this were you called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That's my life purpose. And that's my purpose today. To walk like Jesus. To respond like Jesus. To honor him in all things. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for 1 Peter 1:3. For the help, Father, to remind us of how you want us to live in this evil world and what honors you, and to keep the focus on Jesus and on the gospel. Father, help me to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.